So we, last week, we started in chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, and we talked about, I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to the video, but it was about how Angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, a righteous man, and he tells him they're old. Zechariah is married to this woman named Elizabeth. He tells them that they're going to have a baby, and while Zechariah is in the temple, and Gabriel, when Gabriel says this to him, he asks him, like, how am I going to know this? And then Gabriel sees that he did not believe that he's going to have a baby. He says, you're not going to be able to speak until you have this baby. We talked about last week why God chose muteness over anything else. He was stricken with muteness. But the Bible also says, this is a recap from last week, chapter 1, verse 19, and the angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring this good news. It says, verse 20, behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And last week we were discussing how when Abraham is in the same situation, his father, he's a son of Abraham, right? Through the lineage of Abraham, Zechariah, how Abraham, when God tells him that he's going to have a son in his old age, Abraham believed and it was credited to as righteousness. Zechariah, same thing. He is old. We're past childbearing age. How are we going to know? But he doesn't believe. And since he's a leader in Israel, he's a priest in Israel, God shuts his mouth. You have no business teaching. You have no business teaching if you don't have faith, because it's impossible to please God. And he has no faith. Gabriel says, you did not believe my word. So he's shut, basically, for the entire time. So we're going to pick up today, chapter 1, verse 26, and we're going to read a little bit, we're going to talk about it a little bit, and I'm going to connect some dots, and we're going to open up for discussion. But I may ask some question in the middle just to kind of stimulate some thinking. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'll start reading it, and I'll pass it off to my friend on my right. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, so the first time it was angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, 6 months later, he comes to, in the verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin pledged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How would this be, since I do not know man? And the angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, a child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, the king's woman, Elizabeth, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So we have a scene, same angel Gabriel that appeared 6 months ago to Zechariah, appears to Mary and says to Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary says, how could this be? I don't have a man. Well, Holy Spirit's going to come up on you, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Do you guys know what Jesus is in Hebrew? The Jesus is the Greek name for Joshua in Hebrew. So I don't know if you know, but do you guys remember what Joshua did in the Old Testament? What was the significance, importance of Joshua? So Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt, brings them to the borders of Canaan, and he dies. What does Joshua do?
I think they go look at the giants or something like that. He leads them.
He leads them into the promised land. They cross. Canaan. Joshua is going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. They're going to go through the Jordan River. It's going to split, and they're going to cross. Jesus, which means Joshua, has a very similar role, basically. He's going to lead people not to physically a promised land, but it's the spiritual promised land, which is heaven. That's why he's using the same name. He was given the name Jesus. But I want you to think something here for a second. So if you, and this is like, I just think this is incredible. So if you are a young woman, I have a daughter. I was hoping maybe that she would hear this, but so imagine she is pregnant and she is engaged to a man. She starts to show that she's pregnant, and she needs to explain this to her fiance and to her parents. How would that go? Just think about it in your head. Mary, why are you pregnant? How did you get pregnant? Well, angel came to me and Holy Spirit impregnated me. Yeah. How do you think that's gonna fly? And this boy that I'm having is gonna be a king. Tell me if anybody will buy that. Would you really buy it? You would think she's out of her mind. She has lost it. On top of that, when her fiance, Joseph, hears about it, probably she told him what happened, right? I'm going to cross-reference to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading it. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you do it? Mm-hmm. She's pregnant, man, and we weren't together. I'm not buying into this. Let me just walk away. And as you know, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So Joseph changes her mind because of the angel coming. But Mary did not know that angel is going to change Joseph's mind. Number one. Number two, what if he didn't change his mind and Mary became pregnant and he gave birth and never married? This could have ruined her life, basically. I don't know if we've heard the story so many times, the beautiful story. We don't understand that, like, there were terrible consequences when Mary says, let it be so as God wants it. That's one. So she humbly consents to it, right? What if she didn't? She goes, you know what? I can't convince anybody. How am I going to convince anybody? How about no. You're going to say, why would she say no? Do you guys remember the story about when God called Moses to go to the Pharaoh to get the Israelites out? Do you remember what Moses in Exodus 4 says to God? Verse 12. Now go, I'll help you speak and we'll teach you what to say. But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Moses says, no, I don't want to go. So can you send somebody else? Mary could have done the same thing. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appoint you as a prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, this is Jeremiah, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. Like, he doesn't want to get involved with this. This is above his pay grade. How about Jonah? You guys know the story of Jonah? When God tells him to go to preach to Nineveh. You guys know the story? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh. This is Jonah chapter 1. And preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. We take it granted that Mary humbly says, let it be as you say. I am Lord's servant. Not only she has faith, she has obedience, and she is meek. And it could have, if Joseph did walk away, or Joseph saw the vision and still didn't obey the angel, her life would have been ruined. She would have lived in disgrace. She's pregnant, and there is no guy, man. Who are you going to convince that she actually got pregnant by Holy Spirit? Think about it. So this is from Mary's perspective, how she, compared to Zechariah, who did not even believe the angel, she not only believes the angel, but submits herself to it. Let's continue. Verse 39. In those days, Mary arose, went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah, and he entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Actually, I'm going to skip a little bit. What happens here is, just for the time's sake, I want to keep this short. Mary goes to see Elizabeth. She's already, Elizabeth is the Zechariah's wife, and she's pregnant already 6 months. And she will spend three more months, Mary will spend three more months until just about Elizabeth gives birth, right? And at this time that she's pregnant, when she comes back from this trip, she's probably showing a little bit. Joseph was like scratching his head. You went 3 months ago. Now I see you're a little pregnant. Oh, my. It's like, whoa. So Mary visits Elizabeth. And the baby in Mary's, Elizabeth's womb rejoices. And they say great prophecies. And let's skip to verse 57, and then we'll read a little bit there. It says, now the time came for Elizabeth to be delivered. He gave birth to a son, and her neighbors and kingsfolk heard that the Lord has shown great mercy to her. They rejoiced with her, and on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They would have named him Zechariah after his father, but his mother said, no, not so. He shall be called John. They said to her, none of your family is called by this name. When they made signs to his father, inquiring what he would have him called, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. They all marveled, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And a fear came all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people for the forgiveness of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from our on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Now, all of a sudden, Zechariah calls the baby John, as the Gabriel told him that you will have a son, and you shall call him as John. So all of a sudden, Zechariah becomes a believer and actually obeys the angel. And then now he's prophesying for all these things that the son is going to be doing. He's going to be a prophet. He's going to be a prophet. He's going to give, verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. So whatever Zechariah starts like unbelieving, he becomes a believer by the time the baby is arrived. So he has transformed, basically. You guys see that in the beginning? He's actually become a believer. So through this experience. So sometimes God can take an opportunity in your life because he knows where you are. He takes you to this place of faith, basically, just like he did with Zechariah. But Zechariah had to travel this year, basically, mute, pondering, and then seeing it with his eyes that whatever the angel Gabriel said came through, he became a believer. I want to look at the story with three characters in mind. Number one is from Mary's perspective, right? She's pregnant now. She has to deal with an engagement, has to convince this guy that actually, you know, something bad didn't happen, and that God actually has to intervene with Joseph through an angel to convince him not to walk away, right? So Mary has taken a great risk. This could have ruined her life, basically. She could have never married, basically. Jesus could have been the only child she would have, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's character number one. There are two other characters I want to look at the story from their perspective. The perspective of, let's take Gabriel. In two different times, Gabriel is sent. Have you ever wondered why God is using the same angel two different times instead of another angel? Do you guys know how many angels the Bible says God had? Throw a number at me. How many angels do you think God has?
Millions.
So how in the world he's sending the same angel to Zechariah and to Mary, number one. Number two, in the Old Testament, there are two angels' names are mentioned, the entire Old Testament. Do you know their names?
Michael and Gabriel.
There are two instances that Gabriel again shows up. Michael actually never goes to anybody. His name is mentioned, but he doesn't actually go and give a message to any human. In Daniel chapter 8, Gabriel again shows up, and Daniel is having a vision. This is verse 15. Then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision. This is chapter 8, verse 15. Then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. And then he goes on, and Gabriel explains to Daniel the vision. And chapter 9, this is another episode, maybe some years later, verse 20. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, this is Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. He informed me and talked to me and said, O Daniel, I've now come forth to give you skill to understand. Why Gabriel? Why? God has millions of angels at his disposal. There are two appearances of an angel speaking to that we know their names. Both, it's in Daniel chapter 8 and 9, it's Gabriel. In Luke chapter 1, both Mary and Elizabeth, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, it's Gabriel. Have you guys wondered why? Why Gabriel? What's so special about Gabriel? By the way, Gabriel means, Gabi means men, El means God, man of God.
That's his role. Angelic beings have different roles, responsibilities, cherubims, seraphims. Gabriel, he's, my understanding is that's his role. Michael has a different role as the warrior angel.
Yes.
Gabriel's role is to be sent to provide messages or make announcements. So
okay.
That's my.
Could it be Jesus, like somehow through him?
Okay.
Head of God.
Okay. So you're saying Michael's a warrior, Gabriel is a messenger, could be Jesus. Robert, you have any thoughts on this?
Okay.
So I ask the questions like why? And sometimes I have no answer, but I was thinking about this. You remember I told you, I think Robert heard of it, but there was an incident. I had a business in town in here for almost a decade. And I told some of these guys, maybe, I don't know if he remembers it or not, but there was a period, I in that decade, I hired maybe 100 high schoolers. And some of them were good workers. Some of them were not good workers. Some of them were like really, there was actually one guy that he did commit some crimes that he was, when he was on bail, he had to actually leave the country so that he wouldn't be in prison. He had to jump countries to actually, so that he worked for me. I remember out of the 100 so people, plus or minus 20 people, there was one person that I remember not only his first name, but also his last name. And you're going to say, why? This kid was exceptional. The other kids, I would give them index cards. So they will put their hours. Monday, I came at 3:10 and I left at 5:57. Tuesday, I came at this time. And at the end of the week, they're supposed to actually tally their hours, hours and minutes, multiply it with their wages, and give me the card so I can pay them. They were notoriously wrong. 80% of the time, undermarked. They undercalculated their page. So I will have this one guy in charge making sure he goes over everybody's number so that I don't have to do this work. He was so good that he made an impression on me. I was like thinking, like, is it possible that Gabriel is so exceptional that God just counts on him? Just like he's a business owner. He knows what I'm talking about. When you have like a right-hand man kind of guy appears in your career, you don't have to worry about anything. Is Gabriel so awesome that God just like, he's my man. He just goes to the surface. And I was thinking about it, what would be the application of it? As Mary is so meek to God's calling, even she, Mary, loves God more than she loves life, because it could have ruined, this baby could have ruined, this pregnancy could have ruined her reputation, her life on earth. But she wasn't concerned about that. She wasn't concerned about this earth and this worldly life. She believed God, and she was looking for a reward from God. Gabriel is so exceptional that God can count on him. That's why he surfaces here or there and rises above others, perhaps. Again, we're speculating, but just, I'm telling you, if I saw the 99 of those kids that work for me on the street in Summit today, I will not even remember their first names. I remember not only this fellow's first name, but also his last name. That tells you that, like, he was exceptional. I think Gabriel was exceptional. So we're looking at it from Mary's perspective, the story. We're looking at it from Gabriel's perspective. And the last perspective we're going to look at is John the Baptist. So in chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, "For he will be great." This is about John the Baptist being, like, predicted to be born before the Lord. "And he shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He'll turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah." So John the Baptist is going to go in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Why Elijah? Why not spirit and power of Moses? Why not in the spirit and power of Daniel? Why not spirit of power of David? Why not Isaiah? Why not Jeremiah? Have you ever thought of it? Why? Malachi prophesies that God is going to send Elijah in the future. But why? What's so exceptional about Elijah that God wants to use? I'll pause for a second for you guys to think. We have three characters to discover today. Mary's perspective, Gabriel's perspective, and now we're going to talk about John the Baptist's perspective. Why John the Baptist was prophesied that he will come out of all the men of God, not even Abraham. Any thoughts? Why Elijah?
Yeah. Elijah was taken up to heaven, right?
He was taken up to heaven. He never saw death.
He never saw death, but John the Baptist did. That's something, I'm sure, to do with Elijah's ministry.
Yes, you're on the right path. It was Elijah's ministry,
yes.
His characters, his faith.
Yes.
Recall some of those things. What was he? Why was he so exceptional that God says, you know what? I'm going to use this guy again. And by the way, he lived around 850 BC, almost 900 years later that he is born. This is now, I'm sorry, it's almost 850. Yeah, he lived around 900 to 850 BC. So it's almost 900 years have elapsed. But Malachi was written around 420. So Malachi, 500 years later, God is saying, I'm going to send the Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And here it pops up again. All right. So let me continue on the Bible story. Let me explain it, and then we'll kind of wrap it up, and then I'll turn off the camera, and we'll have an off-the-camera discussion. So there are certain things about Elijah that is exceptional. I'm gonna emphasize some of those things so that we can actually perhaps put our minds around it. So this is James chapter 5 says verse 17, "Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it will not rain, and he did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produces crops." So the northern kings, northern Israel, became idolaters. They became Baal worshipers. Do you guys know who Baal worship, what Baal worship is about? Anybody knows? Do you know what Baal worship is all about?
son?
It was, Baal was the god of rain and lightning. Okay. If I'm a farmer, I need what? Rain. I have a drought. I pray to God. God doesn't send me rain. What am I going to do? Well, let's try to Baal. Let's pray to Baal. Maybe he will send us rain. Mm-hmm. So they became idolaters. They became worshipers of Baal. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah goes and says, you know what? You guys are idol worshipers of Baal. You're going to have a drought for not just 1 year, not just 2 years, not just 3 years, 3.5 years to show how worthless your God is. Mm-hmm. And there's no rain for 3.5 years. He takes on the entire country and their food supply because they are worshipers of Baal. So he cuts water off of them through his prayer. And then 1 Kings 17, verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So the prophet is sent to this woman in Zarephath, in Sidon, Zarephath of Sidon, to this widow who has a son, and miraculously they have food because Elijah arrives there. But sometime later, her son dies. And Elijah goes up and prays to God, and he resurrects the boy. Now, was there ever such a thing ever happened in the history of the Bible? He is the one and only man has raised the dead. It has never been done. He prays to God that this boy's life will come. And God does it. This is not Jesus, man. This is like a 900 years before Jesus. What kind of man is he? What kind of faith does he have that he shuts the water and creates a famine for 3.5 years? He prays and God listens to his prayer and raises a boy out of the dead. There is another incident in 1 Kings 18. He tells the king to bring all the entire priests of Baal into a spot. And he says to them, show me your God is real. We're going to put a sacrifice and you're going to pray to Baal to bring fire from heaven to consume his sacrifice, and I'll pray to mine. And at the end of it, 450 prophets of Baal, you can find the story, 1 Kings 18, gets killed, slaughtered by Elijah and his and Israelites, who sees that their God, this Baal, is worthless. He eradicates the religion, basically. And also, there's a character named Enoch, right? Before the flood, and he walks with God for 300 years, and God takes him up to heaven. He never sees death, but we don't know much about it. But in this case, Elijah is also taken up to heaven without dying. But we know a lot about him. So all of us who are going to die, we're going to go to the grave and we're going to go to Hades. We're going to wait our judgment day. We're going to stay in Abraham's sight if we're righteous. Or we're going to go to the fire and we're going to wait our time for the final judgment. Elijah never sees it. Why do you think God takes him up to heaven? He's such a man of God that he says, you know, just come on up, man. He's an exceptional character. Jesus says there has never been a man greater than this John the Baptist who has come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He says, until then, there has been never a greater man than this. Think about it. Think about that. He is so awesome. With his faith, with his obedience, in his prayers, in his relationship with God, that says, you know, I'm going to use you in the future. I'm going to use you in the future. And how is that encouragement to us? Let's be Elijahs. Let's climb up of the ladder of faith and obedience and love of God. Let's be like Gabriel. Let's be exceptional in our service with God. We surface to the top among his servants because we love him and serve him with all of our heart and all of our soul, with all of our strength. Let's be like Mary. Even if it's going to cause great consequences that are negative consequences to our lives, but we have a reward from God, let's choose the spiritual things over the carnal things. Not knowing exactly what's going to happen, she submits to God's will, taking such risks. Let's be like this kind of faithful people of God, full of faith, that we will just say, we're God's servants. Let it be as God says. I'll conclude it with these thoughts, and we'll continue in chapter 2 next week. That's our chapter 1 of Luke. I'll conclude it, and we'll have a discussion.